With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A possible meltdown spot for one group of individuals going into the place they're going into tomorrow. And something ugly in the NHL last night. Very briefly, we touch on that in Breakfast Bites and wonder if there's anything you can do about it anyway. Plus, Doug Whaley's in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Wednesdays with Whaley. Lots to talk about with him. Maybe we can ask him about T.J. Watt for MVP. Ben Roethlisberger was asked about it yesterday.
I think T.J. is, like, seriously one of the best players I've ever played against. And I played against some really good defensive guys. I know I joke about that, but he truly is a special player. I'm glad that I've never been sacked by him because he's not allowed to get close to me, but he is a game changer and a game wrecker, and you don't – there. I've been a part of guys like that, Troy Polamalu, who can change a football game, and it doesn't happen on defense that often. To be a literal game changer on defense is something completely special, and he should be recognized more than just a deep – I mean, I don't know who else is the defensive player of the year other than that guy. I'm sure there's other candidates. I just don't know. But he should absolutely get MVP votes as well because that's what kind of a player he is.
All right, this has really started to gain steam over the last 48 hours or so after Aditi Kinkabwala went on with the PM team and said one NFL executive espoused T.J. Watt for MVP is a good idea. I mean, I've had people calling me from networks asking, well, what do you think about T.J. Watt? I still don't think it's realistic, Colin. I would love to see it happen. And I think in this season it may be more possible than others. But I just don't think it's going to happen, given the age we're in the NFL, where it is a quarterback-driven league, and more often than not, the MVP is going to be the best playing quarterback on the best playing team. And it's happened, I think, maybe also, three times in the last 20 years where it wasn't a quarterback.
Given the history and given the technical nature of how this award is voted for, I don't think a lot of people – I think we need to shine a light on – just how you arrive at the NFL MVP award. I think that there are so many people that don't know about the process. And I'm not saying that they're naive to it.
No, you just don't think about it.
You don't think about it. So it's the Associated Press that gives this award out.
Correct.
People, I think there are thousands and thousands and thousands of voters.
Just 50, right?
There's only 50. There's just 50. In the history of this, is Lawrence Taylor the last defensive player to win the...
Yep, Lawrence Taylor, 1986, the last defensive player, the last non-quarterback or running back, to be honest, to win it.
And I don't believe you get a ballot in, if I'm not mistaken here, I could be wrong, where you denote second, third, or fourth place finishers.
Just one single line.
You get a ballot and you say, who's your MVP?
Right.
That's it.
Which is how you end up with, like, Lamar Jackson a couple years ago, unanimous selections. Everybody looks at somebody and says, well, that's the guy, obviously, right? And everybody writes in the same name, and there's 50 votes, and they're all for Lamar Jackson, and he wins unanimous MVP. I stand by the fact that I don't think that realistically, if you're a Steelers fan who wants to see this happen, if you're T.J. Watt, who probably gets, I don't know, maybe he's got a big bonus for it in his contract, whoever you are, if you want to see this happen, do not hold your breath. I don't think it's going to happen. Even if they win, even if they end up going to the playoffs, and that would be the only way I would suggest it happen, it would have to be them getting to the postseason.
But isn't the vote before, at the end of the regular season?
It's at the very end of the regular season. So you could take that into account. Do they get to the playoffs?
That they made the playoffs.
Right.
Now, I don't think it can happen either. For the people that do think it can happen, though, here's the one lifeline that I will give you. Couldn't all – you hear this term all the time. Well, the votes might – for all-star balloting or things like that. Couldn't the other votes cancel each other out? Could there be a muddying of the votes where then – he could win it with like 41% of the votes or something like that.
And that's exactly why I think this is probably the best chance for a non-quarterback to win it this year that it's been in since who was the last non-quarterback? Adrian Peterson in 2012 to win it. This is the best. Now, Had Derrick Henry stayed healthy and continued on the trajectory he was on, I think he might be the front runner and the best chance at a first non-quarterback to win it in almost 10 years because he's another offensive player. He's a running back. We just outlined it. It's been almost 40 years since a non-quarterback or running back won it. But if you just go through the odds-on favorites right now for MVP, I'll go to FanDuel.
Okay.
Tom Brady is top of the list, plus 150. Well, Tom Brady's had 2 or 3 weeks in a row where he didn't look all that hot. Maybe you hold that against them. Maybe you don't if they end up winning their division. Aaron Rodgers, plus 550. I don't know how much all the COVID, Pat McAfee show nonsense gets held against him. I wouldn't as a voter. I just vote on what happens on the field. But, you know, there's people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, plus 700. Well, the Cardinals just got done with a stretch where they still managed to win a few games without Kyler Murray and looked pretty good in doing so, despite Murray's absence. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, plus 1,000. Dak Prescott, plus 1,200, 12-1. And those are your leaders. And then you get to the Herberts and Staffords of the world, and even down to Jonathan Taylor at 20-1. What I could see happening, if this was a year where T.J. Watt went off, let's say he continues to roll, right, and he ends up breaking the NFL sack record, because that's within reach at this point. If he were to do that, and the Steelers got into the playoffs, and all of these quarterbacks continued to just sort of muddle along, some of them are having good years. I don't want to make it like they're not good quarterbacks. Some of them are great at times. That's the only scenario you can build in your head where it works.
I also think there needs to be something added to that scenario.
Okay.
He needs to have a gigantic splash play that is signature. That is to say, a scoop and score,
strip sack,
an interception,
scoop, score, win
something
the game.
That
yeah.
you look at and you say, okay, there's an accumulation of, and look, I don't think it's possible without something like this. And it's still a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But we all see T.J. Watt right now, and we see like he annihilated people in overtime, and the play that he made in knocking down the ball. Okay, that's just a general defensive play. It's a great play, the Lamar Jackson play, right? It's a great play, but that's kind of a, and it's not regular, but does it stand out on a highlight reel? Sort of. There needs to be one that is an all-timer. Like, all right, he batted the ball down. He caught it himself.
Leaps up in the air,
yes.
Throws both hands up, and somehow snatches the ball out of midair and runs it back 90
You may
yards.
Think I'm crazy for saying that, but there needs to be something that's burned into somebody's memory that says, oh my gosh, when I think of T.J. Watt this year, I think of that. Troy Polamalu's return in the playoff game. You know, it's
right.
Something like that. And again, this is all just regular season, but something where you instantly think of a performance in a moment.
Well, Polamalu had those plays. You know,
right.
you brought those up, the leaping over the line in Tennessee. Now, those were also in years where there were clear-cut offensive players who would get the bulk of the votes. So I'd have to go back and look. I don't know if Troy ever got a league-wide MVP vote. But TJ, you're right. There has to be a moment where you look at him and go, oh my God, that does remind me of Lawrence Taylor in 1986. Because Lawrence Taylor in 1986 could literally take over a game. He would have a pick. He would have 3 sacks. He'd have 2 forced fumbles. He would just be, it would be, you remember the classic James Harrison game against the Ravens?
Right.
Like back in 2008, 2009. It would have to be that. And then a couple more times, you would have to get
it's
that.
It's kind of like that play that Cam Hayward made against the Bears, I think, where he basically like ate that pass.
Right.
Put his hands up, picked it off. If he would have taken that to the house, I think T.J. Watt needs that.
And he's got to have, to be quite honest, he's got to have like multiple sacks in each game from here on out. Now that people have started to talk about it, he can't have a step back if it's going to have any more legs to it. Like he can't have a week like in Cincinnati where he disappears off the stat sheet and they get lit up for 40 points.
And he's got to be the sack leader too.
Well, yeah, there's that. He has to have, look, he has to be numerically above everyone else, statistically above everyone else. And then I also think he needs that play that is emblematic of here's the award winner. Here's the best play or arguably the best play of the year in the NFL. He forced a fumble. He ran 81 yards. He made everybody miss.
Not to make it about gambling, but
right.
He's not even on the board right now at FanDuel, for example. Right. Ben Roethlisberger is on the board at 500
to 1. Now, people say, didn't he basically end the game with a strip sack earlier this year? He did.
Yeah.
But
we're not saying he hasn't had those moments.
He just ended the game the other day with what he did with Lamar Jackson. But by getting in his passing lane, that isn't him in the frame of the camera alone by himself. In fact, it's almost got to be a touchdown.
And it's also got to happen from this point forward, right? Because now, here's the thing. Here's where people who maybe haven't watched a lot of the Steelers this year start to, let's say you're an MVP voter, and I just think about this from the way I would approach it. If I had an MVP vote, I would watch as much football as I could, obviously. The games that I couldn't watch in totality, I would get, you know, those condensed games, like the 10-minute versions or whatever, and you watch as much of that as you can, and you try to get a feel for what guys giving his team the best chance to win. But until things start to pop off on a national level, you're not paying attention to those guys. Those guys, if I'm one of those voters, I haven't watched anything about TJ Watt other than what I've seen on the highlight shows. And once he starts to get talked about as an MVP candidate, that's when I start to dig in and pay attention. What has this guy? Oh, he's got 16 sacks already. Oh, that's tied for the team record. Okay. Oh, he's within shouting distance of the NFL record for sacks. Okay. Well, right. Now we're talking. Oh, wait, did you see that play that shut down the pass to Andrews in overtime, or not in overtime, at the end of the game against the Ravens? Oh, he had this strip sack, but he can't have a moment. And again,
yeah, his body of work right now needs to be all the padding.
And like it or not, they have to make the playoffs, and they cannot have a game where their defense gets scorched again. Because if their defense gets scorched again, then how can you really truly call him the MVP is going to be the argument from some. But I think it's just that thought process and the scenario we just built out. This is one of those few years where it could work because you don't have that clear-cut.
I don't think there's a lot of people
shoulders MV or offensive player.
I don't think there's a lot of people who listen to our show who only knew that there were 50 voters for this.
I'll be honest, I didn't realize it until you told me this morning.
I think there are people who think that there's like thousands of voters for this. Or
yeah, this isn't like the Heisman where 900 people vote
all over the country. There's only 50 voters.
Right. Ray Fittipaldo at the top of the hour, so 45 minutes from now at 8:30, a list of possibilities for one very important position once the guy who's been in that position for a long time decides to move on. And at 7:45, the Steelers' offensive line could face a very particular challenge on Thursday night that Ben Roethlisberger actually brought up yesterday in his meeting with the media.
It's time for Breakfast Bites, a tasty soundbite to start your day with a Fan Morning Show.
All right, Rangers Blackhawks last night. Ugly hit. Jujhar Khaira of the Blackhawks looking for the puck in his feet, and Jacob Trouba of the Rangers catches him with his head down.
Oh, look out!
Oh, big hit!
Oh, man.
And with his head down, Trouba just lit up the Hawk player and get together after that.
NBC Sports call of the play and the breakdown from Sam Rosen on MSG.
He'll get the puck. He's looking down, trying to retrieve it. And then there's the time he looked up, there was Trouba.
And then an important point here made by Edzo back to the NBC Sports Chicago call for just a second.
Almost looks like his head snaps back first there, Pat, and then he just loses all control. And oh, yeah, and then he hits his head on the ice as well.
Yeah, and they ended up having to stretcher Khaira off. Really tough to watch for anybody, but a clean hit. Principal point of contact, if you watch the video, shoulder to chest. Any contact with his head, I think, was incidental. And then, as Edzo pointed out, his head bounced off the ice when he went down. Scary stuff, yes. But I always fear when we see a clean hit like this, Colin, that it's going to lead even more to those who want to just take hitting completely out of the game and turn it into basketball on ice.
Haven't we found that the most, whether it is something that's open ice like that, not open ice, but something that involves crashing into the boards or something that's with his head down, we often talk about the boards and whatever. It feels to me like in hockey, the most dangerous portion of the ice is the area anywhere from 6 to 10 feet from the boards. Every dangerous hit, the initial contact or all the contact is there. Either you get hit there with your back to the ice and you crash into the boards with your head, or your head is kind of down in that area. It's not really the open ice, and it's not smashed up against the boards. It's always that area that is sick, about 6 to 10 feet from the boards.
And it's not always about the initial contact. It's about the man flying into the end boards, into the dashers. Or in this case, he gets knocked out by a clean hit, like I said, but his head snaps back and it hits the ice. And I just, it's terrible to watch. You hate to see a guy get stretchered off, but unfortunately, it's one of the risks you take when you go out there and everybody's skating around at 25 miles an hour. There's unfortunately going to be a wreck every once in a while. Well, and when you're staring at the puck in your feet, you know, look, if you want to take hitting completely out of the game or take incidental contact with the head completely out of the game, you're going to fundamentally change the way hockey is played.
Well, I can tell you, I think, in a, I don't know if it's a problem or just the reality, is this, that when hockey was devised, it's much like when football was devised, in that they never anticipated the athlete getting as big, as strong, and as fast, and to be able to move as quickly and as nimbly as they have. Like, when they devised the sport of hockey, just like right. football, they never thought that men that big would be able to move that quickly and hit each other that hard.
No.
It's just grown into something that has gotten to where it's so different from the original concept.
Yeah.
And that's just my thought on it.
No, I think you're exactly right. Nobody ever anticipated it. The Blackhawks' latest update after the game last night, Zhuzhar Kara was up, talking, very responsive at Northwestern Hospital for further tests.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sting. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia in Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, and online at ShorkeyKia.com. Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour, and a ton to talk to him about, both Kenny Pickett, Mark Whipple, Pitt football related, as well as obviously Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt related, as they head up to Minnesota today for tomorrow night's game. Ray Fittipaldo in less than 30 minutes. And a question about the offensive line in about 15 minutes as well, that Ben Roethlisberger actually brought up yesterday. This went from something that had the potential to be funny to something that is just really creepy. What's one of our favorite neighborhoods in the city, Colin?
All of them. I think that story from Shadyside. I love Shadyside.
We love Walnut Street. We've both been up and down Walnut Street a million times in our life. Shadyside is a beautiful neighborhood.
Grew up going there. I mean, that was the place where we probably had our first illegal beer inside of a place. It was the old docks. And that was my old haunting. Me and my friend Kenny Schultz, who's now an attorney in the city, Doug Ostrowski, and all those kids we grew up running around with, and it was Walnut Street is a gem.
Now,
yes.
If you were hanging out at William Penn Tavern, you're sitting at the corner of the bar, munching on
which
some wings, maybe.
Which came into play after my heyday, but yes.
You're hanging out there. You're talking to Ratner, assuming he's not trying to cut off his own finger back in the kitchen. And he said, hey, you can't believe this. There's this guy running down Walnut Street naked the other day. You'd kind of have a chuckle over it, right? Oh, come on, naked guy running down the street?
I mean, what? Well, yeah, because it's a bohemian sort of place, you know?
It can
at least
be.
It used to be. But, yeah, you this, think, it, okay, it's not as odd as maybe it would be in some other parts of town, but you'd still get a little eyebrow raised. Like, well, is there a protest happening, maybe
right,
you think? Or
He's burning his underwear for some reason.
Is he mad at the Apple store?
Right.
Like, what is he doing?
Did
is
he still have a mask on?
Yeah. Right.
Well, this very quickly goes from funny to creepy. People have posted on Instagram. There's a story about it on Channel 11 I saw. There's a dude just running around Shadyside, not literally running, walking around Shadyside, peering in people's windows, different apartment buildings, completely naked, except for the mask, of course.
What time of day?
Stay safe. At night.
He got to go. He needs his ass beat. Got to go.
He just needs dragged into wherever you drag people. I mean, first of all, indecent exposure. Spend a few days at the ACJ, and we'll work that part out. And then you go to some place where they figure out why you are the way that you are, that you're oddly running around, peering through people's windows late at night, 2 a.m, completely naked.
Remember the Fort Pitt Bridge naked jogger and the jogger that was all around the city? That happened a couple summers ago.
There was another I saw when I was researching this story. I had forgotten about it, but I guess 3 years ago, I want to say like summer of 18, there was another instance of some dude running around Shadyside naked, like jumping on cars, like a bath salts type situation.
Oof. Now, question. Now, here's the meat of the story here.
Whoa,
okay?
Careful.
No. I didn't even mean to say that. But here's the whole crux and the meat of the story. You come out, let's say, I don't know, you forgot something in your car, okay? And it's 1:30 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and you live on Maryland or Howe or somewhere, one of those streets over there. And you walk out, and you go, I got to go to my car. Yeah. Damn, I forgot something for work. I forgot that something I need. There's a
got a folder with
stuff
in there.
Yeah, folder in there. And you go out, and all of a sudden you walk out, and you make it down your little steps, and you see the guy.
Right. What's he doing? Is he just walking down the street?
He's hurriedly walking right in front of you, and you make eye contact. You go, oh. What is your play? You got your cell phone in your pocket, but he's within. Do you try to hawk him down and grab him? Do you yell?
Oh,
do you call?
I'm not touching the naked dude.
I follow him.
You follow him?
I follow him as I'm on my cell phone calling the police, probably. Like, especially, now listen, especially if it's been advertised that this guy's sort of on the lam a little bit.
Right.
That they're looking for him.
Yeah, I definitely snap a picture, not for my own personal consumption, but to give to the police. I call them immediately, and I say, hey, naked dude walking down Ellsworth at 2 a.m. You guys might want to be aware.
I'll be frank, if he has been proven to be like a peeping Tom or peering into...
Right.
He might get his ass kicked. He might get grabbed here. He might at least get detained by me or in an attempt to be detained.
Well, what would happen is if you decide to verbally confront the guy, like, hey, what are you doing looking in my window? My girlfriend's trying to go to sleep. You weirdo, get the hell out of here. And then he says,
well, I got to size him up to figure. You got to do a quick tail of the tape. Not at that thing, but a quick tail of the tape on, all right, if I decide to get in sort of a confrontation with this guy, first of all, you quickly can ascertain he's probably not armed
if he's
naked, right? So you're okay there. Well, at least that
depending
kind of
on, yes. Yeah.
But you can, I'm quickly ascertaining here and doing the tail of the tape. Who's favorite in this matchup? Is this guy going to kick my ass,
or
am I going to kick his ass?
Naked guy inherently gets a little bit of an advantage because he's naked guy. And you look, most fights aren't like boxing matches, right?
Right.
Somebody hits somebody else, and then it turns into a wrestling match, right? And guys end up on the ground, one guy pinning another to the ground or whatever, scuffling around a bit. Nobody wants to do that with
it's
naked
guys. It's
why
the real tough guys take their shirts off so that there's nothing to grab
onto. I don't
want
you to grab anything.
Right. So I would quickly do a one-up, like up and down, sort of. How do I think I'm going
to
fare?
Down to a certain point. And
how am I going to fare in all of this? Once that happened, real quick, the inventory happened, then I'd decide my move. More than likely, I would just stay really close to the guy and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Because now generally, and I don't know what the, it's sort of that zone and all the police and everything. Generally, there's a policeman. If you walk around Shadyside for 10 minutes, 15 minutes,
especially
Walnut Street corridor, yeah, you're going to bump into a policeman. But I would call and probably follow the guy.
If
he's looking in my window, though.
That's different. I go out and verbally confront.
He's catching one straight away. I come outside, he's catching one.
I don't immediately go straight to physical assault. Because again, because the naked guy angle of it has me concerned.
I might lose. But he's going to get hit hard once, at least, extremely hard.
Well, I'm going to give him.
I might lose, but I'm getting one in that's going to hurt.
See, before I go that far, I'm giving him the, you got to get the hell out of here, you weirdo. Or I'm calling the cops. And then I call the cops anyway. But if he's still hanging out, Matt, what's the play here?
Yeah,
I think you've got to do something physically here. That guy.
Well, okay. Let's paint this picture then, Matt.
Well, we've come to the conclusion this isn't innocence. This isn't some college prank, right?
No, this looks like a middle-aged dude.
This is, yes.
Okay, so you run out. Dude's peering through your window. You're like, what the hell? Is that a naked guy? You run outside. You're like, listen, pal, get the hell out of here before I call the cops. He says, said something weird or doesn't make any sense.
I'll give him that. Okay. I'll give you the, hey, get out of here. But if he gives me any kind of, what do you mean?
Why are we assuming he talks like that? What if he has a very deep voice?
Just because he's a weirdo.
No, he's a weirdo. He's got to have that kind of voice.
That's the weirdo voice? Okay.
It's got to be that voice. And here's the problem, though. Let's say you take a swing at him, you hit him, you get one good shot in, and then he tries to tie you up.
No.
And now you're wrestling with a naked guy in the middle of the street.
Tough. All right, text here. This guy's been doing this for a while now. I worked at an apartment complex in Shadyside. We installed privacy fences and window bars on the ground floor.
Really?
This was all the way back in June. The cops apparently know who it is, or at least they think they know who it is, but they haven't caught him in the act. So
we need to catch him in the...
I don't know. There's enough Now, here's the other part.
There's enough footage.
In terms of leering and peering and knocking on doors and running and things like that, we as a society have pretty much eliminated this situation through Ring cams. You can't... It's not like it's an anomaly or an outlier that people have security cams now. Now it's the other way.
Yeah.
Everybody has it, and it's a situation where it's an outlier if you don't get caught on camera doing something in public.
If they know who he is and they've got enough video and photo evidence of it, then...
Well, I don't want to take that as gospel because I don't want to go ahead and that the police aren't doing their job.
No. I'm not implying that. I'm saying if they do have that much information, it's time to roll, give them the old...
Yeah. But this is going to be – it's interesting to see how this is all going to end.
Not well for him.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I bet he gets caught soon. Jogger on the – go by the tunnel, though, on the Fort Pitt Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy, that footage.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bath salts or meth type situation. You're on some kind of hallucinogen.
I think I can safely say I'll never get to that place. I hope not. I mean, I'll never get to that place.
That's a long way to go.
Unless you're just really old at that point and,
out of it?
It doesn't take, any kind of drugs to get you to that place.
Oh, you're just already loopy.
Yes.
Yeah. Ray Fittipaldo in less than 15 minutes as the Steelers get ready to travel to Minnesota today to take on the Vikings tomorrow night. An intriguing list of people who could take over at one spot in particular when the guy who's ready to hang him up is actually ready to hang him up at a very important spot. Ben Roethlisberger spoke yesterday. A lot of people did. Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, both coordinators, packing everything from a full week into just a couple of days of prep time. One of the things he was asked about is playing the Vikings up in Minnesota on the road at a place, U.S. Bank Stadium, that he's never played in before.
And I have not played in this stadium, but I've heard it's as loud as any. So that will be obviously a huge disadvantage to us in terms of dealing with what we have to deal with.
Now, if this weren't an offensive line that were already shaky, that has been taking very little baby steps in the right direction, if this were the old veteran line, right, of Villanueva, Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro, and either Gilbert or Filer, I'd be like, okay, they got this, no problem. Ramon's going to look back. He's going to make sure Ben's ready when he raises his leg. Then he's going to tap Pouncey. Pouncey's going to snap it back, hopefully not over Ben's head, and they'll handle the silent count no problem. But with this offensive line And with everything else, I just imagine everybody's minds racing constantly as they put their hand in dirt and get ready to snap the ball on that line. And then dealing with a defense, really, that can bring pressure from just about anywhere. I think 12 different guys have sacks for this team. I do worry that the crowd noise could become an issue on the road in prime time on a short week.
If you let them score first, yep. If they get out to a lead, I don't. They're 5-7, and Mike Zimmer's a dead man walking, it feels like. You know, I know they're favorite, and I know that people, it's freezing cold, and they got nothing mm-hmm. to do, and they'll go to that game. I don't want to say they have nothing to do. Minneapolis is a great city. But they go to that game, they support that team, yada, 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 all of that kind of stuff. But losing to the Lions had to have turned it for some of these people. A lot of these people, I'm thinking. You see the national stuff, and if you follow the, and you go, and I've been consuming a bunch of things, and it feels like it's turned into a crowd that was, it is and has been for a long time, supportive of the Vikings, to now their tone and tenor over just the past 72 hours has been, we got to get this coach out.
Well, it was interesting, I thought, that not just Zimmer being talked about, but as Brad Spielberger brought up yesterday, the idea of Kirk Cousins departing
yes.
before the final year of his contract plays out. Now, he brought it up in relation to the Steelers specifically, which I don't think makes sense because the cap hit, but here nor there,
so it feels
they're talking
like
about tearing it down to a certain extent.
That maybe it's a crowd that's going to go and go, I mean, we got tickets. It's in, so we don't have to deal with the elements.
Right.
Let's go see what this is all about. See if they can salvage anything at 5-7. I mean, Packers are running away with this in terms of the other teams. Now, in the South, everybody else is 5-7, but you got a couple teams. The West is okay, and everybody's kind of middle of the road other than divisional leaders. I don't know if we win a couple games. I don't feel like there's a ton of people walking in that stadium like, we're right there. I think that the atmosphere, even though the Steelers tied the Lions, is probably more excited here in Pittsburgh than it would be in Minnesota for the team.
Because you're coming off a big win against a division rival. I do think if you're a Vikings fan, and I'm just speaking from my personal perspective, mm-hmm. if I were a Vikings fan, I'd be looking at it and saying, listen, it doesn't get any lower than losing to the Lions. You guys have bounced back from tough losses all year. You've been one of those up-and-down teams, but you're one game out of a playoff spot. Right? One game out of a stinking playoff spot. Washington and the Niners are in playoff position in the NFC. You guys can get there. This is a perfect opportunity. You're at home on a Thursday night with a 39-year-old creaky-kneed quarterback coming into town with a bad offensive line. That would get me fired up and get me – you know what I think
and
it may be,
Colin?
And he
still has a national brand on the right side of his helmet.
And you know what I think this might be like for them? It's not a rivalry game, right, like it was for the Steelers with the Ravens coming to town on Sunday.
Right.
But it could be it's a chance to set things back in the right direction, right? Like we talked about – the crowd at Heinz on Sunday and how, yeah, it was less than 60,000, which was a little surprising, but it was as loud as it's been for any other crowd this season, if not the loudest, right? The most energetic, because there was a feeling of, hey, it's either down the drain after this or this kind of, you know, we get up off the mat. It was the feeling, I think, amongst a lot of people. And it could be the same in Minnesota. They could come with a little extra energy. And again, I think you make a great point about getting down early. You get down early, you change the way this offense functions, and I think if this set of offensive linemen is back on their heels with the crowd noise, they're in big trouble.
Well, I feel like, and I kind of disagree a little, because I feel like that crowd is going to walk in there tomorrow, the pro-Minnesota crowd, and be bent on, let's get this guy out of here, more so than let's help lift our team to a win. Because even if they win, what's this going to do in the long run anyway? I think there's going to be bags on people's heads. I think they're going to boo Zimmer.
That far, huh?
I think that they think that this has really fallen.
Now, I do agree with you.
Because they just lost to a deplorable team and made a lot of late-game errors in doing it.
I do agree with you that I would suspect the wolves are out, the knives are out, or whatever phrase you want to use for Zimmer, and maybe to a certain extent Cousins. But, their fan base strikes me in Minnesota, and maybe I'm just making a rash generalization about upper Midwesterners. They strike me as the people that are going to be loyal. They're ride or die, right? And until the very bitter end, until we're absolutely eliminated, you know what? Cousins, you throw a pick, we might boo you off the field, but the next time the defense is out there, we're still going to get loud for them.
Like the Cardinals in baseball.
Yeah.
Like that kind of fan
base? A little bit. They're a little more haughty. Cardinals fans, right? They're a little bit more self-important and think they're better than they are, probably.
I just, if that's your take and that's my take, I'm very intrigued to see. Like, let's say the Steelers go, best case scenario for me to want to see this play out is Steelers go right down the field.
Right.
Do the Boo Birds come out heavy in Minnesota? Are they out against? And that to me, that dynamic to me is if, say, the Steelers get the kick, they go right down the field and score a touchdown, which is a tough ask if you're watching the Steelers this year, but it could happen. They go, does that crowd turn on them? Because anything you read locally and nationally, these people are seething at
our
this
defense
guy.
Should be doing so much better. He's a defensive head coach. Look at all the talent we have on this roster.
He just got out-coached at the end of the game by this kneecap biter guy, whatever. Like, that they are just mad.
But then, again, to spin it the other way for just a second, if the Vikings come out, let's say they don't even have to put points on the board right away. Vikings defense comes out and maybe stuffs the Steelers, a quick three and out. Or maybe the Steelers put together a bit of a drive, but there's a turnover late on that drive. And all of a sudden, the defense starts making plays. That's where you could start to ratchet that volume up. And again, I thought it was interesting that Ben doesn't know anything about this stadium. But the one thing he did consider when he thought about it was, yeah, it's a really loud place. And when you've got a really young, inexperienced offensive line, as this one still is, it could lead to some chaos. Mark Whipple's departure, what does it mean for Kenny Pickett playing in the Peach Bowl and Pitt's offense going forward in general? That at 8:45. At 8:30, a list of possible successors for one very important position in Pittsburgh sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.